Hey, gang! Welcome to another exciting episode of National Google Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, the free speech center of the universe. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send a donation. Also, download the CoCertified app, because it is the most awesome app in the universe. It helps you take control of your dietary consumption. And you are what you eat, and you want to be non-kosher certified. All right, so we have with us from Texas, from America, and from the world, we have Mark Dankoff. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Texas, America, the world, and I've had kind of a wild week. I got my mother set up, assisted living here in San Antonio. The next day, as Dr. Slattery knows, my dogs and I were attacked by a pit bull in Windcrest, where I live, a pit bull that was unleashed and unrestrained, and I managed to win the physical battle with the pit bull and get it subdued. But in the meantime, one of my dogs, my Basenji Chihuahua mix, got chewed up a little bit, and the owner was located and cited by the police on several counts. And then my dad's 12th anniversary of passing from this life was yesterday. And then, of course, I recently had an article that I think we're going to discuss today that was published by South Front. And our own RBN has also posted that South Front article on a piece entitled War by Other Means. Who is financing the Iranian LGBTQ organization known as Six Rang, R-A-N-G, Six Rang. This starts getting into all kinds of things related to deep state subversion, both of our own domestic culture, but in this particular case, using this kind of thing against the adversaries of anti-Zionist countries. So we got all kinds of things to talk about, including horrors in Gaza and anything else.
Well, yeah, and so we will be talking about the article about Iran, but before we do that, let's hear a little bit about your father's life, because that helped you gain a familiarity with Iran. So your father, he was both a career military officer, a colonel, and but also had a life outside the military that took him to Iran, right?
Correct. The long, the short of it is, and by the way, we posted at nationalbugle.com a link to my dad's biography, and I think on VK there are some photographs that have also been attached there, so people can see that at nationalbugle.com. But the long, the short of it is that my dad was a full colonel in the Air Force. He was a senior in college at Omaha University, playing varsity football on a scholarship when Pearl Harbor was attacked. So he then signed up in December of 41 for the Army Air Corps. That, of course, ended up being the United States Air Force. He finished his college education after the war, got a master's degree at Indiana University then with the assistance of the Air Force, and then he went to the Air War College in Montgomery, Alabama, in that fateful year of 1963-64, which was when I was in the third grade in Montgomery, Alabama. That was the year of the Kennedy assassination, and a few months later of the infamous Cassius Clay, Sonny Liston, a heavyweight championship fight in Miami Beach, and the appearance of the Beatles on Ed Sullivan the first time. So my dad's career goes back quite a ways. But the long and the short of it is that he spent about 12 years of his life in Air Force intelligence with a group called the Air Force Technical Applications Center, or AFTAC. You can read about that command today, based at Patrick Air Force Base in Florida. In the old days, when my dad was in it, they were underground, literally in downtown Washington, D.C., I believe at 14th and Constitution, my dad told me.
But 14th and Constitution.
Yeah, they were in an underground facility in downtown Washington, D.C., and interestingly enough, they were running the U-2 spies.
About three blocks or so from the White House.
Yes.
Very they close were to the Washington Monument.
Yes. They were running the U-2 spy program for both the CIA and the Atomic Energy Commission. My dad, of course, because of that, was involved in the Cuban Missile Crisis, as you might understand. But the long and the short of it is that after he got out of the military at the end of the Vietnam War, he signed up with the Lockheed Corporation and served in Iran in the last 5 years of the Pahlavi regime, where my dad was a logistical advisor to the so-called Imperial Iranian Air Force. Then after the revolution, of course, he was not in Iran, obviously, when this revolution happened. He ended up serving with Lockheed in Atlanta, outside of Atlanta, Georgia, Marietta, Georgia, for a couple of years. And then he served with Lockheed in Saudi Arabia for a few years before he finally retired. But, I never had the opportunity to go to Saudi Arabia. But in terms of Iran, I traveled there extensively for a period of summers when my mom and dad were stationed there. So that's kind of his history in a nutshell. And he passed away 12 years ago yesterday. And he is currently buried in Section 54 of Arlington National Cemetery. So if you're standing where my dad is buried and you look up the hill, there, of course, you will see the Lee Custis Mansion, now politically correct, in politically correct fashion, renamed, I think, the Arlington House. And then, of course, the Kennedy graves are up there. So that's his current location until the Lord returns.
Custis Lee, I think, is that the order? And Custis was Mary Washington's or Martha Washington's family. And
yes.
Lee's married into it. So the cemetery is on the plantation of Robert E. Lee.
Yes, absolutely. So it has a very interesting history. And when you start looking at that history, I'm amazed that Black Lives Matter is not going around advocating the destruction of the cemetery and all of the monuments and digging up all the graves.
They will once you know they hear your show.
Yeah, they undoubtedly will do that. Yes. Yeah, so, but there you have it. That was his life and career. And people want to read a little bit more in detail about that. We put something up at nationalbugle.com that goes back in time a lot of years.
Okay, so we've got. Okay, well, let's next go to your article, and then we're going to go to the general Middle East stuff. So sure. Your article is about an LGBTQRS group in Iran.
And that is correct.
What's up with it?
Well, it's interesting. I first found out about the existence of this organization from CNN. And I noticed that this organization called Six Rang, R-A-N-G, Six Rang, was being cited by CNN and a number of the other mainstream outlets as a human rights organization set up to counter all the allegedly terrible things being done to LGBTQ people in Iran. Now, in this particular situation, it is quite striking that this Six Rang organization would start cropping up in some of these news stories in the same fashion that you're constantly seeing the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center and the National Endowment for Democracy being cited by these news sources, clearly with the implication being that it's something you can trust. So I did some research on this Six Rang organization. Not a lot is known about them. You can't find any information out there on how many employees they have or what their budget is. They do have a headquarters, which is on their website, their Six Rang website. And it looks like they're in a glass canyon someplace in a major city, but it's hard to determine where that major city is. And there's no published list, as near as I can tell, of any board of directors, whether or not they claim 501c3 tax status in the United States if they're based here. It's a very murky organization, but nonetheless one that is now cropping up as an alleged source on all of these an allegedly trusted source on issues in Iran related to LGBTQ suppression, supposedly. So this is the nature of it. But when you start looking into it further, as my article for South Front indicates, which you can find on South Front, where you can vote for me in that article, by the way, or you can see it on our own RBN Network news site, and we also have it at nationalbugle.com, you'll notice that there are a lot of parallels between this Six Rang organization and what clearly some unseen hands are attempting to accomplish against Iran using this organization and using them as a media front for allegedly trustable news in mainstream media in the United States, and what has been going on in the Ukraine, where, of course, with the American EU Israeli overthrow of the Yanukovych regime in February of 2014 in Kiev, it suddenly came to my attention as time went on that the United States government, and this was going on under Trump, folks, as well, and Mike Pompeo, was using LGBTQ as a means of trying to undermine the Russian Orthodox Church in Ukraine and to paint this picture of widespread Russian Orthodox Church suppression of gays.
Which is why I dubbed him Big Gay Mike.
Exactly.
I'm not actually insinuating that he has those proclivities himself, but he is a proponent of Big Gay. He was exporting Big Gay to the Ukraine, and apparently he was also exporting Big Gay to Iran.
Exactly, and I think our listeners can deduce where we're headed with this. Mike Pompeo, by the way, if you want the verification on the truth of what we're saying here, Mike Pompeo, on the official American consulate site in Kiev, check him out. Pompeo, LGBTQ Pride, and American Consulate Kiev, and you will see Mike's official statement promoting LGBTQ Pride. And obviously, when you read the text of what's being said, basically linking LGBTQ Pride to the wonderful government that Mike doesn't say on our official website in Kiev was installed by the American CIA and the European Union and the Israeli Mossad. So when you look at this, I think specifically
by like Victoria Nuland of the State Department at a time and when Joe Biden was nominally running Ukraine policy for the Obama administration.
Exactly.
And the band is back together.
Exactly. And as I've said to people on Russian V, Kontakta, when you start looking at all of this, and Anthony Blinken and Wendy Sherman and Victoria Nuland are the three Zionist Jews that are running the foreign policy of the United States in the Biden administration and employing every means available to coerce other people's governments that don't like the New World Order, via military threat, economic sanctions, and frankly, cultural subversion. And that's where this article of mine comes up. War by other means. Who is financing the Iranian LGBTQ organization called Six Rang? This is an important post, folks, because as you start getting into this, and the article talks about it, compare what I write there with what Jim Jotras wrote a few years ago for Chronicles in regard to the State Department's use of LGBTQ, not only to attempt to engage in anti-Russian subversion in the Ukraine generally, but also to subvert and to impugn the Russian Orthodox Church, and basically to facilitate what became a split in world orthodoxy between the Russian Orthodox Patriarch and those who recognize his authority, and the Greek Orthodox Patriarch, who received $25 million from the Central Intelligence Agency to interfere in these ecclesiastical and moral matters in the Orthodox Church in Ukraine, where he had no historic authority. the historic authority for the Orthodox Church in the Ukraine has been the Russian Orthodox Church. Now, we start talking about all of this and comparing what Pompeo and company have been up to with the Greek Orthodox Patriarch in trying to subvert the Russian Orthodox Church and Putin's underbelly, southern underbelly. But then you also have the situation clearly where the idea that this Six Rang organization, which we know very little about, they have a website. You can easily find it, folks. Six Rang, R-A-N-G. Nonetheless, this organization cited by the CNN, the Washington Post, the New York Times, MSNBC, and so forth and so on, Associated Press, Reuters, the list goes on and on. Who are these people? Where are they located? Who's on their board of directors? Where is their funding coming from? And when you can't find those answers, even though the media thinks these people are terrific, then we understand the context of what can, I think, fairly be assumed to be a deep state organization heavily influenced by Zionist ideology that is attempting to do the same thing to the Iranians internally that obviously Pompeo and Nuland and company were undertaking in Kiev and in Ukraine. So this has even been accentuated in my article by an attack piece published by the Southern Poverty Law Center. That's a part of my article, which you'll see the links to all these things if you'd like to research it. The Southern Poverty Law Center launched an attack on the Russian Orthodox Church as a hate group and launched an attack on the World Congress of Families in a Russian Christian activist by the name of Alexei Komov. Started attacking him, and the World Council or the World Congress of Families is anti-LGBTQ hate groups, hate individuals, hate organizations. Now, this kind of trash being promoted by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which of course is another favored source for mainstream media in the United States to quote as authoritative in these matters, as is the ADL. We're now seeing this Iranian Six Rang organization coming to the fore in these matters, as clearly things are afoot in the Middle East. And when we start talking about economic sanctions, military threats, and all the rest of it, this whole business of the use of culturally Marxist subversion against these anti-New World Order, anti-Zionist countries and societies is something we can't overlook.
Right. This is something that the United States has done for a long time, using various domestic groups, or sometimes using various domestic groups, funding various domestic groups to undermine a country with which it is has hostile relations. Sometimes basically just astroturfing a group out of whole cloth, a group that wouldn't have existed otherwise. And this is, you can look not just at the history of American relations with other countries, whether you're talking about Ukraine, whether you're talking about Allende's Chile, but even, whether you're talking about Mossadegh's Iran. And
1953, Operation Ajax, exactly.
That's right. So this is a long history. This is a standard operating procedure. Okay, we are coming up on the first break. After the break, I want to get to what's going on in the Gaza and elsewhere. We'll be right back.
Make the world go away. Say the things you used to say and make the world go.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
And make the world go away.
We are back, and, you know, things are just so precarious all the time, and as if with everything that's going on domestically with the faked election, with the fake public health crisis. I don't know about the coronavirus per se. I'm not saying necessarily the virus is a fake, but the public health crisis is a fake. It's a hoax with the with Black Lives Matter riots, and then of course internationally, they're trying to gin up. Well, they're engaging in brinkmanship with the Russians in the Black Sea, brinkmanship with China in Taiwan Straits, Hong Kong, Xinjiang. The last thing we need is a Middle East crisis. Do we have a Middle East crisis?
Yes, we do. And we've had one for a long time, of course, going on for decades. And I think where you're headed with this, Dr. Slattery, is that we are seeing the tensions and the inflammatory character of this and the dangers of this reaching entirely new levels just this year. And the interesting thing, as you point out, is when you really look at the foreign policy of the United States, it seems that we can say with all assurance that with both major political parties, the foreign policy of the United States has come to be a playbook for neocon Zionist methodologies. As my South Front article points out, military threats, military deployments, economic sanctions, the utilization of mainstream media to control narratives, And last but not least is the cultural subversion, which is the main point of my article. But when you really examine it, with the poor performance of the United States and the American military in the so-called war on terror since 2001, I mean, basically, we are in the process, folks, of trying to declare victory even as we get out of Afghanistan, ultimately as losers. That's the way that this is going to play out. The situation in Iraq continues to be a mess. Syria, with all of the subversion being undertaken there by the United States, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Israel, Syria, with the help of Vladimir Putin, has managed to stand thus far under terrible circumstances created by this New World Order element. Then, of course, there's the mess that we have created in Libya. But the point is that we have spent a lot of money, have gotten a lot of people killed, innocent people, including a lot of our own kids. And this includes those who are post-traumatic stress victims and who have suffered terrible physical injuries from all of this on the American side, whose lives have been essentially ruined. And for all of this, and with the amount of money, trillions of dollars, not billions, but trillions of dollars wasted in all of this garbage, what is the sense of continuing this policy and potentially going to war with Iran, Russia, and China? These are major military powers, and when they are acting in concert with one another, as they clearly are, in attempting to counteract what the United States and the Israelis are doing in regard to this foreign policy of intimidation. The fact is that whether you're talking about very effective moves being made to begin to de-dollarize the international economy, when you're talking about the rising military strength, again, of Putin's Russia and of the Chinese, when you're speaking about an Iranian military, which is a credible military, folks, and the Israelis know it. The Iranians have a very, very credible military that has made incredible strides in all the years since the Iran-Iraq War between 1980 and 1988. Does anyone really believe that the United States and Israel can and should continue these policies of confrontation, sanctions, and the cultural subversions when we are sinking? We are sinking economically through this. Our political credibility in the world is absolutely shot. And in regard to the vaunted American military, we've got to be honest, folks. We're kind of like the University of Texas football program down here in Texas. You have all this money to spend, more money than probably almost any school in the country on football. You keep producing mediocre or even bad teams. That's a good analogy for the American national security scene and the American military. We're spending more money than that.
So, yes. Mark Dankoff, you don't think the brave men, women, and trannies of the U.S. military are up to the task?
No, I don't. And it's a situation, interestingly enough. By the way, as we speak, I'm watching a neighborhood police officer chase a guy who was probably going 23 in a 20 zone. Anyway, no, I don't think that that they are up to the task. And this gets into a very, very important point, and that is that essentially the domestic discord in the United States, we're all familiar with the culture wars that go on here with LGBTQ, and Black Lives Matter,
mm-hmm.
Antifa, and so forth. That's all being repristinated in the American military.
Okay, let's get into the details of that after the break.
Any time you're feeling lonely, any time you're feeling blue.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting, involving the energy planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
And we are back. And okay, so the brave men, women, and trannies of the U.S. military are no match for the manly men of China, Russia, and Iran. What's going on? So all these culture wars are being reflected in the U.S. military at, if not an accelerating rate, at least more openly and blatantly than ever before, correct?
Correct. And Philip Giraldi, the ex-CIA station chief and very fine chairman of the Council for the National Interest, has had several articles recently in the UNTS Review on this whole issue of the reinforcement of politically correct attitudes on the part of troops and aviators and sailors as coming down from above. And interestingly enough, Giraldi has even documented the fact that there have been official edicts coming from above in the American military, reinforcing the idea that that all of these American aviators and troops and sailors are to understand what their attitudes are going to be when it comes to the state of Israel. Now, think about that for a minute, folks. This is not simply a question of having the federal government and individual state governments of the United States attempting to deny companies the opportunity to do business, private companies to do business with state governments or with the federal government who support the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. This has now reached a point where, when it comes to Israel, I think the gist of Giraldi's article is that this very strong signal is being sent from on high in the American military to all of the underlings that this is going to be your attitude on Israel, and this is going to be your attitude on potentially supporting the national defense of the United States and by supporting Israel. That's the implication of all of this, that the interests of the two countries are one and the same. And, of course, I commented to Press TV the other day on this, where I basically said, these are the people who have given you the Levant affair, the Meyer-Lansky, David Ben-Gurion link to the Kennedy assassination, the USS Liberty attack in June of 1967. These are the people who have given you the Pollard and Ben-Ami and IPAC spy cases. These are the people that gave you 9/11. These are the people that have been bleeding the United States dry as being the reason that we're involved in the so-called war on terror in the Middle East. And these are the people who now want to use the American military as a janissary force for Israel's desire to go to war with Iran and to spill American blood to do it on their behalf. So this is where we are. And the mere fact that the American military, according to Giraldi, is sending some signals to the troops, so to speak, in regard to what their attitudes are going to be on domestic cultural issues, and read into that LGBTQ folks. And these are these same folks are saying, hey, if you're a great American who wants to defend your country, you're to understand that means that you're going to have that same attitude when it comes to the Zionist state. Now that's pretty scary.
Yeah. So there are a couple of things I want to ask you about. The first one is regarding the military. You hear on, Tucker Carlson, that the military, I mean, especially since the fake Biden administration took over, you've got this black defense chief, the defense secretary.
Lloyd Austin.
And he's launched some sort of inquiry into, I guess, white supremacism.
Lloyd, I'll take your bucks from the defense contracting community, Austin. Yeah, he's a terrific guy. But yeah, the notion that the issue in the American military, we are told, is one of white supremacy. That's coming from a black defense secretary. This is interesting. Does that mean, what does he mean by that? Does he mean that Black Lives Matter and the Marxist LGBTQ agenda that they openly proclaim is their ideology? Is anyone who doesn't agree with that a white supremacist? We need to ask the defense secretary about that. And the other obvious issue is that when you look at this whole remaking of the American military from Bill Clinton onward, in terms of slowly but surely, incrementally enforcing a leftist domestic cultural agenda. This reached its final peak when Barack Obama simply issued an executive order on this whole business of having open gays and lesbians in the military and altering the Uniform Code of Military Conduct, the part Article 8, which requires an act of Congress, folks, for it to be constitutionally enacted. The Uniform Code of Military Justice was not amended by the Congress of the United States. We had the President of the United States simply saying that this is the way it's going to be, and we are going to have the practicing gays and lesbians and transgender people in the military, when, of course, at one time that would have been unthinkable. So in the last 30 years, there has been a sea change in American culture, and that's being reflected in what's being imposed on people in the American military. And it, again, has reached a point, and I'm trying to remember who wrote the article. It might have even been your buddy Andrew Anglin. I'm not sure, but somebody posted recently on UNCE talking about the fact that the military could have a real problem on its hands if all of these white troops and aviators and sailors start to figure out that they're being asked to die in wars that are not in our national interest, with people who are basically sending a signal to them that if they're white, that they suddenly are the people that are going to have to take the back seats of the bus, so to speak.
Well, so, I mean, we're facing a dilemma. You've got what, you know, I was referring to is a purge of white supremacy. Tucker Carlson calls it a purge of conservatives, but really a purge of regular white people and a promotion of non-whites. You've got that. And then what you just mentioned, that so many patriotic people, patriotic Southerners in particular, Southern whites, I mean, that's kind of the stereotypical soldier, really. They joined the military. They're patriotic, but for decades upon decades, they have not been fighting. I mean, they really haven't been making the country free or safe. It's not their fault, but it's the policymakers' fault. And so what happens when they wake up and no longer join the army? Well, then what's left of the armed forces? You've got a hostile anti-white armed forces filled with you know, blacks and immigrants and trannies and feminists and whatever. Is that the situation we want? So isn't it kind of a dilemma?
No, it isn't. And it may be a situation where that type of Army, Navy, and Air Force would not simply come apart, in my view, like a cheap suit in a combat situation with Iran and Putin's Russia and China. But the way things were going in this country, we can easily envision, can't we, that such a military force could be used as a means of suppressing legitimate domestic dissent from all of this garbage that has been going on with Antifa and Black Lives Matter and LGBTQ and all the rest of it.
Yeah. And I want to save time, but I had a discussion with Jeremy a couple of weeks ago on just, you know, women in the military, particularly women in combat, but whatever. And, you know, I have high regard for Tulsi Gabbard, but if I've never been in the military, so I'm not really the person to talk. But if I was in a combat situation and Tulsi Gabbard, who I have a big crush on, was around, I'd be thinking about her. I mean, I wouldn't just be thinking about her. I'd be thinking about the other guy who's thinking about her. And what does that do for, you know, your cohesiveness and your combat readiness? And do we really want
to... Well, you know, my late father spoke to this issue before his death, spoke about it with me privately. In the last year of my dad's life, he voted in the 2008 presidential election. And interestingly enough, he knew that John McCain was bad news for reasons that our listeners would understand. He certainly wasn't going to vote for Barack Obama, and particularly was appalled at all of this open talk about the inclusion of practicing gays and lesbians in the military, which, of course, was fulfilling my prophecy during the Clinton administration that the Don't Ask, Don't Tell implementation by Bill Clinton in the American military was incrementally moving us to where Obama finally took us, which is the full inclusion of open gays and lesbians and transgender people in the military. But you make an important point here, Patrick, as we think about it, whether you're talking about queers, we'll just incorporate all of them simplistically as queers, or you're talking about men and normal heterosexual men and women who are placed in situations in combat units that that are not healthy for them to be placed in. That's as much a detriment to military cohesion and discipline in an effective combat source as being on a submarine with a bunch of homosexuals. The point is, when you have and my dad pointed this out very clearly, all these misconduct scandals that have taken place here in San Antonio at Lackland Air Force Base, which is the so-called gateway to the Air Force. It's a major entry point for recruits who go to Air Force boot camp and so forth. All of these things began to come out on sexual misconduct. Not, and much of it was not homosexual in this case, but involved senior enlisted people who were sexually harassing attractive female recruits and so forth and so on. And as my dad pointed out, he said, in my Air Force, the Air Force of Kurt LeMay and Hap Arnold, that could not have happened because it was understood that men have their place in the military. And when it comes to combat roles, my dad was dead set against women being involved in any form of combat. And as he pointed out, it's not simply a question of what could happen to these women and would happen to them if they were captured. But when you are mixing normal men and women together in the unique situations that involve the military, or you are mixing heterosexual males in with gays and lesbians in a combat force, there is no way the cohesiveness and discipline and unity of mission can be maintained in that kind of an environment. And it does not matter how much garbage comes out on this stuff time and time again. It's clear that the cultural Marxist crowd has desired to remake the American military as a politically correct force, which in fact is to the detriment of that force's ability to actually acquit itself well in terms of discipline and morale and cohesiveness in an actual wartime situation. Mm-hmm. And that's even aside from the question of whether or not these wars are in our national interest or not.
Okay. Now, because what's going on in Gaza and the region is so important, I just want to devote the rest of the show to that.
Yes, sure.
First question is, so... Bibi Netanyahu has been, for the past few years, he's been kind of teetering on the brink in terms of his domestic position. You've had, you know, these kind of hung parliament after hung parliament. And so my question is, to what extent was this latest orgy of kosher violence on Gaza, to what extent is this Netanyahu taking advantage of a situation to try to get people to rally around the flag for his own domestic purposes, or are we really headed straight to Armageddon?
Well, I do believe that there is an element of the tail wagging the dog when it comes to Netanyahu's political purposes in being involved in these kinds of military activities, no question about it. But this has elevated to a point well beyond Netanyahu himself. I think when you have a situation where the Israeli military is attacking Palestinian Islamic mosque worshipers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque on Ramadan, and when you have these atrocities being committed by these illegal Jewish settlers in the occupied territories and in East Jerusalem. And then, of course, when you have Hamas undertaking measures to defend not only Gaza, but to attempt to provide some resistance to what Israel is doing in East Jerusalem and the occupied territories, things keep escalating. Mm-hmm. And in this particular situation, I think the most damnable aspect of this from an American point of view is that Joe Biden's statements on this genocidal policy in Gaza and what the Israeli military did in attacking these worshipers on Ramadan, that Joe Biden has basically proclaimed that all of these Israeli actions in Gaza and in East Jerusalem, the occupied territories, and in the Al-Aqsa Mosque facility, that all of these are acts of self-defense on the part of Israel. To me, when you look at that, and I've said this to my Iranian colleagues at press television, I said, you know, you guys are all down on Trump, and I didn't like his foreign policy either. I continue to say publicly that his commissioning of the Soleimani assassination was an outrage. But nonetheless, those of you who thought that the election of a Democratic president and the election of this Democratic president would somehow bring a fresh breath of air or a new ray of sunshine to your situation or to the Palestinian situation are now being proven wrong. As I told you guys at the time, when you look at Biden and his cabinet, when you look at the fact that his vice president is clearly controlled by Zionist forces right down to her arranged marriage, so to speak.
Yes.
This is where it is.
Yep. Okay. We are coming up on the last break. I've got another question kind of in a similar vein for you on the other side of the break.
Sure.
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British...
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hounds couldn't catch them down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
We are back. So, a little less than 20 years ago, Ariel Sharon, who was at the time a former defense minister, he took a group of armed Israelis and on a stroll around the Dome of the Rock, and that caused an outrage, as I recall. Was that the provocation of the second Antifada? And didn't Ariel Sharon kind of ride that wave of jingoistic sentiment into the prime ministership himself? Do I have my memory correct?
Yes, I think you're correct about that. And this is the same Ariel Sharon who supervised the Israeli butchery in the Sabra and Shatila refugee camps in southern Lebanon in 1982. And it was my experience a few years ago, in the last 10 years, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, to listen to a war crimes tribunal open hearing with open testimony from those who were there who survived as to what it was that the Israelis did at Sabra and Shatila. Now, folks, the eyewitness testimony was compelling, and I was riveted by this, listening to this for days on end in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And the fact is that when you hear something like this and see something like this and have all this information coming to you that has been systematically suppressed by the American news media, it should put into perspective the absolute hatred of the United States that has been engendered in that part of the world because of our continued support of people involved in land thievery and genocide and subversion of other cultures, and who have time and time again, and I can't emphasize this strongly enough, have aimed their weapons at the United States on more than one occasion. As I've already mentioned, the Levant affair, the USS Liberty attack, the Kennedy assassination, 9/11, the Pollard and Ben-Ami and IPEC spy cases, the Promise affair. It just goes on and on again. These people are not our friends. They've aimed their weapons at us from time to time when it was convenient for them to do so, when they thought it benefited them. And we are supporting their policies in the Middle East to the tune of $10 billion a year. At the same time that the continuation of these policies, I'm convinced, is going to lead the United States into a military tragedy, a military cataclysm beyond anything that the country has ever experienced before. This could well gravitate into a third world war.
Mm. So we have 1 minute. Third world war, is the third world war survivable? Is there a maybe a happy outcome where we're not completely wiped out, but we're maybe occupied by the Russians and the Chinese? Is that the best we can hope for? I don't know.
I don't know either. And you're asking the $64,000 question, Dr. Slattery. We simply do not know. But the possibilities and the various scenarios are all extremely terrifying. And once again, for what? For what? For absolutely nothing that involves the national security of the United States or our Constitution or our Bill of Rights or the physical defense of our people in our own homeland. This is, to me, the most disgusting aspect of all of this. And the connivance of mainstream media in the United States with the demonic forces, the Zio forces in our own government, that are going to lead our men and women into this once again.
Yeah, I'm not going to say we're done, stick a fork in us, but I am going to stay away from cutlery. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
Hey, glad to be with you, Dr. Slattery. And again, that article is at South Front. It's on nationalbugle.com. It's also on our RBN News website. Mark Dankoff's War by Other Means. Who is financing the Iranian LGBTQ organization known as Six Rang.
Okay, and I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.